This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, back to
Will and Bibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Offensive line's going to have to be amazing.
Yeah, this KCD, the front, Chris Jones is a problem, Mark. Niners have 99 problems, and he's probably more than just one.
Exactly. So let's talk to someone who knows a thing or two about blocking those crazy kinds of defensive linemen. We go out to the River Islands guest line. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Hey, Stink, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. Hey, trench warfare, we think, in this one, Niners and Chiefs this week. And Chris Jones, obviously, you could argue, has won not one but two Super Bowls that the 49ers think that they could have, should have had. So, like, what's the plan there? How do you slow down Chris Jones?
Yeah, you know, that's the $64,000 question, right? How do you slow that guy down? He's an absolute beast. He's a problem. Certainly at the end of the game, you don't forget to block him. That's certainly one thing you can't do, like at the end of the Super Bowl last year, which is mind-boggling. Anytime you see 95, that's a guy that you've got to, you've got to take care of, and you've got to definitely have a plan for him. But I would tell you that guys like that, obviously are an issue, but there are a lot of times where I like to take away the athleticism of a player like that. And what I mean by this, and this is almost counterintuitive, when you get a guy that is that big, that strong, but that athletic, make sure that you attack that player where he has to keep his feet still. Meaning, don't let him use his athleticism. So one of the big plans, and this is something that goes back to my playing days when we played against Lawrence Taylor, when we played against guys like, like Warren Sapp, when we played against a guy like Junior Seau, we ran right at those guys. Make sure you load those dudes, make those guys play right there where they can't beat you to the edge, and then run down the line of scrimmage and use that athleticism, not only the size to beat you at the point, but take away the athleticism. And then how many different schemes can you get? Like, can you invite that dude upfield and have a tight end trap his ass? Or, one of those type of things where you get that guy thinking about multiple schemes that he's got to defend that are coming right at him. So that's always one of the things that I want to slow a dude down, and I want to take away his ability to use athleticism. Take that away from him. Make him play right there. Make him defeat double teams. Make him defeat the ball at the point of attack. Easier said than done, but I would rather make him defend that way than let him use his extreme athleticism to beat you on an edge and then come screaming down the line of scrimmage and hit you 4 yards in the backfield.
How does that jibe with what the Niners try to do vis-a-vis the outside zone? Would this be out of character for the Niners to then suddenly become an off-tackle team just to try to keep him in his spot?
Well, I mean, you know, outside zone is an off-tackle play, but it's an off-tackle play that oftentimes cuts back. But if you go through Kyle Shanahan's repertoire of running plays, I bet you outside zone is no more than 50-50. Like, what they run as far as gap, as far as duo, as far as, you know, duo would be gap, no puller, gap plays, pin and pull plays, they are so much more diverse than we were when Mike Shanahan was coaching me in Denver. Like, yes, that's their staple play, but I bet you their zone stuff only accounts for about 50% of what they do. So they're a very balanced offensive football team that they run multiple schemes. So, you know, it's not, I think there's a bit of a misnomer because we've known them to be this outside zone team for so long. They run counter, they run power, they run, you know, fullback counter and tight end counter and all that kind of stuff. So they are a more diverse team than that. And so then it just comes down to, you know, how do we get great double teams on that guy? How do we attack him at the point of attack?
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes. This football season, we're talking with Stink, Mark Schlereth here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Stink, can you speak to what we fans look at as an assumed mental edge? The Chiefs have had such success directly against the 49ers. How does that affect the 49er locker room in a game like this, knowing that they just haven't been able to get over the top against this team?
Yeah, well, I think if you look at it, the 49ers have really played them well, and in two Super Bowls, you know, have had the edge in two Super Bowls until you give, you know, Patrick Mahomes an opportunity at the end of a game. And so ultimately, it's continuing to do what you did throughout the game to be successful, and then don't break down. Like, I always look at things that happen to you at the end of the game when you're trying to, like, when you're trying to force a turnover, where you're trying to force the game, and you try to do too much. You try to do something that's not in character. You try to do something, you know, to be almost a hero ball aspect. And if you really look at the way they've played the Kansas City Chiefs, man, they've been really good all the way up to the very end of the game, the last 6 minutes of the game when they get beat or in overtime. You know, so, like, out of character, you talked about the mental aspect of it. Like, I truly did not understand, and, you know, don't let Kyle hear this because I've known Kyle since he was 12, but I did not understand taking the ball in overtime in the Super Bowl, right, and creating a situation where Mahomes is in four down territory from the second he gets the ball. Like, that didn't make sense to me. And so just little things, you know, that you look at that may be out of character of the way you would normally do it, because the one thing the Chiefs do better than anybody else, and they're human, and they have not dominated teams this year by any stretch of the imagination, but in critical moments, both offensively, defensively, and special teams-wise, in critical moments, those guys just make the big time play in critical moments. And I think a lot of that is the psychological advantage that you talk about. I think there is a pucker up factor when they get the ball late at the end of a game where they're the ones going, oh, you know, like the opponents are going, oh gosh, here we go. So, you know, that is just playing your game and continuing to play your game throughout the entirety of the game. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, it'd be really nice to have the ball, you know, late in the game with a lead and where you can sit on it. You don't give it back to the, you know, 15. But easier said than done. And that's, to me, why the Chiefs are really that good.
Yeah, the pucker factor is something that is talked a lot about here in the Bay Area from fans. Stink, which would you rather have? Would you rather have the ball down four with Brock Purdy needing a touchdown, or Kansas City with the ball down four needing to stop Patrick Mahomes?
So I would, you know, I don't want to have to stop Patrick Mahomes. Like, I just, like, guy's just a freak show. So I would trust Brock Purdy in that situation more than I would trust my defense stopping Mahomes. So that, you know, that's the direction I would go. And I think Brock Purdy, you know, I'm a huge Brock Purdy fan. I think the dude is a phenomenal player. And I think he's played exceptionally well considering, you know, some of the injuries, some of the inconsistencies, no Christian McCaffrey. And I know a lot of people will sit there and say, well, Jordan Mason's really running the ball well. And, you know, and they ran the ball exceptionally well against Seattle. They ran it really well and blah, blah, blah. Dude, it's just McCaffrey's just a different dude. He's a, you know, he's a difference maker, and him, you know, not only running it, but catching the things he does, you know, the packages and the time you have to spend thinking about how you're going to take him away, especially in the passing game. It just makes them a more dynamic unit, and it just makes them a different, you know, just a different football team.
Stink, our listeners may not know this, but the conversations we've had with you earlier this season, you have expressed a bit of a head scratching reaction with regard to the way the Niners ended up paying Brandon Ayuk, and on a day like this, where two big name wide receivers are changing teams, I'd love to know your overall view of what the league is doing with this position, and then specifically the 49ers. Like, they paid Brandon big dollars. They restructured Debo, which makes him harder to cut at the end of the year. And they've used first-round capital on Ricky Pearsall, who is now practicing. And Juwan Jennings has broken out. Can you make that make sense?
No, you know what? There's this – we see this happen, this cyclical nature – of different positions. And we saw it a couple of years ago with the safety position. Remember when everybody was wanting to, hey, you know, we need a middle of the field eraser at the safety position to, you know, and we're going to pay that guy $15, $16 million a year. And then what happened this year? Basically, all those dudes got cut or released, right? And they all re-signed for 1 year, $7 million deals. There's, I think, one or two safeties that got paid this offseason. But there has been a market correction in that. And I think there's a two or three receivers that are big time difference makers, you know. But for the most part, like the rest of them, they're like you gotta have a number one guy. You gotta have a true number one receiver. But like I think it's become, in a game where it's everybody's a dependent position. I think receiver is the most dependent position of all dependent positions. Like 10 of the guys have to do their job exceptionally well for that dude to make a play. And I think there's a few guys that, yes, are that kind of difference maker, but there's only a handful of those guys. And I think there's, you know, I think there's a lot of guys that play the game that are really good at it that, you know, you don't have to pay them the way these receivers have been getting paid. I think you'll see a market correction. It might be not for another year or two or three, but I think you will see one eventually.
And I think we're seeing some teams already self-correct, and Green Bay let Devontae Adams go, and now he's onto another team, and they're using a lot of younger talent. And I look at Kansas City, even if they had Rashee Rice, their receiving core is very underwhelming. When you watch Kansas City, are you seeing a shift in the way they approach their offensive football with the personnel they have?
Yeah, I mean, last year I think they led the league in two tight end formations, if you can believe that. So, you know, with Kelsey and with Gray. And so, you know, and then the way they ran the ball last year, like all of a sudden Andy Reid, who doesn't want to run the ball, you know, it became a legit weapon with Isaiah Pacheco, and then the receiving game out of the backfield with Isaiah Pacheco. And then, you know, like I said, the two tight end formations. And so you've seen, you know, this shift, and then they had a ton of success with Rashee Rice, and, you know, and now obviously Rice is hurt, but you know, I mean, I think you've seen some of those, you know, some of those shifts, if you will. Guys are still going to get paid, and they're still, and still, you know, everybody's important on a football team. It's important to have dynamic, you know, big-time playmakers, but again, I think that that's one of those market corrections that I think you're going to continue to kind of see.
Stink, Mark Schlereth with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, do you buy into ideas like this in the regular season that a game sort of means more to one team than the other? It feels like the 49ers need this more than the Chiefs. Do you buy that, and does it matter?
Oh, yeah. There's always a few litmus test games along the way that, you know, when you're a team that has either struggled against another team. You know, I remember early in my career in Washington, my first, you know, 2 years in the league, man, we could not beat the Giants. Just flat couldn't beat them. And you know, changing that tide and beating them in 91 was like a big-time almost sigh of relief for us. And, you know, it's one of those things that you're like, all right, we are good. We are that good. And, you know, went on to win a Super Bowl that year. But same thing goes back in my day when I played in Denver. If you went to Kansas City, even if you didn't win in Kansas City, because it's so tough to play in Kansas City, even if you played the Kansas City Chiefs type under Marty Schottenheimer, they had a really good team back then, you know, you always felt coming out of there like, damn, we're pretty good. And so there are those litmus test games for any organization that you look at, and it means more to me than it does to them probably. And yeah, I would definitely say, based on past Super Bowls, this is one of those games for San Francisco.
Does that also apply to the coach and the offensive play caller and Kyle Shanahan going up against a defensive coordinator who's kind of had his number a little bit? Does that ratchet up the pressure on Kyle a little bit to try to figure out how to get by the Spagnuolo scheme?
Absolutely. And Spagnuolo, let's face it, that dude is right now the best coordinator in football. Like, you watch the adjustments he makes during the course of a game. You watch the way Kansas City plays, the plays they make, and they're talented. They're super talented without question. But they are super solid, man. They are disciplined. They play hard. They fly around. They hit you. Like, that's a challenge when you face a guy that's really smart and really good and really understands your scheme and kind of how to defend you.
Mark Slareth with us here on Willard and Dibbs. How do you take stock of this thing after what the Niners did last Thursday night, right? Like, I was thinking about the idea that compare Dallas and San Francisco, by the way, who play the week after the Chiefs. They're both 3-3, but not all 3-3s are kind of built the same. How would you do a state of the union of the 49ers right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously 3-3 is not where you want to be, but that was an impressive victory the other night against Seattle. You're coming off the mini bye week, and, you know, you're going to get healthy. And the way they ran the ball, that was impressive to me with a bunch of backup running backs. Like, all those things, you take stock in those things. And, you know, Brock Purdy, like, one of the things that I mentioned after that Thursday night game was, I know that Brock is athletic, and I know that he's got really good feet. But I probably have never been more impressed with the way he played when things broke down. His ability to scramble, to get out of harm's way, to create plays with his feet, to create time in the backfield, to avoid rushes, I just thought his pocket presence was unbelievable, and I thought his athleticism was more dynamic than I've ever seen it. I was like, I don't remember him being, I know he's a good athlete, don't get me wrong, but I don't remember him being that dynamic a scrambler. And so, you know, I was like, shoot, red zone, you want to cure the red zone problems, start running the zone read stuff, you know, start using him in the red zone on the edge to pull the ball, keep it, and threaten the defense to create the more room for your running backs in that zone read scheme. So I could see them, you know, implementing something of that nature coming to the red zone, because he is that athletically dynamic, and I didn't really realize that, or I just haven't seen it like I saw it the other day.
Maybe he's got the PTSD from losing Trey Lance on a similar play a couple of seasons ago, and you know, not wanting to get his QB hurt. When you watch,
but that was all. Trey Lance was not on the edge. Right. Trey Lance was all inside power QB, and it was an inside run game because he didn't have the edge quickness. He had more straight line linear speed, and that's what they were using him in. So that, to me, the edge stuff is a little bit different than running in there between the tackles.
That's a good point, and just watching the way Brock's been running around of late does make me think a little bit about Patrick Mahomes, how they're both just scrambling and making these sidearm, off-schedule throws. But I just want to ask you about the totality of George Kittle and what you've seen, not only as a red zone threat, but also as just a pancake-serving breakfast machine in the blocking game.
He is one of my all-time favorite players. I love the enthusiasm with which he plays. I also love the fact that dude would rather serve up a pancake block than score a touchdown. Like that he's just a football playing Jesse, man. And I just appreciate the heck out of him. I love watching him play the game, and I love watching him dispense justice in the running game. And like, I know the joy. I mean, I've talked to him multiple times about it. I know the joy. It's not fake. He loves it. And that's contagious, man. That's infectious. I love that about him.
What do you think's gonna happen in this game, Sting?
I think it's going to be a really tight game. And you know me, man. I'm hoping that San Francisco, listen, you know, between us, don't tell anybody in Kansas City, but I am rooting for the 49ers. I really want Kyle to win. I really want this one, you know, to go 49ers way. And I'd really like to see Kansas City lose. So, and there's definitely, I mean, it comes down to the very end of the game. How do you manage the end of the game, San Francisco? Because you'll be in it. I know you'll be in it. Just how do you manage the end of it?
Yeah, I hope they manage it better than they've managed the end of it previously, Stink.
Good Lord.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the fourth quarter. Scary times. All right, hey, Stink, love having you. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks, my friend.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
All right, there it is. Mark Schlereth, that was Odyssey NFL Insider. Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious.
Feel better or feel worse after hearing that? Because it was a bit of a mixed bag. Spags, the best coordinator in football, not just defensive, but overall coordinator. And so Kyle going up against his most difficult task and a coordinator who's had a certain level of ownage over him in the last few big games here.
I feel about the same. I feel about the same. I think that there are, look, normally right now with the 49ers, I go into most games with concerns about the defense. This game, I go in with concerns about both sides. I think that Spagnuolo and Brock Purdy have a tremendous mutual respect after what they saw from one another in the Super Bowl last year. I think both of them are going to get some wins, play by play, series by series. So the Niners will put up enough, I guess. What does enough mean? You're going to need 24 points.
Yeah, I think 24 is the number.
24 points to win this game. I think that they've got a great chance to put up enough. But on the defensive side of the football, dealing with Mahomes and the speed of Xavier Worthy, like, we're going to find out if that performance that we saw Thursday against Seattle actually was sort of an indicator of good things to come or not. You know, my hope is that this is going to sound weird now. My hope is that Javon Hargrave was a bust signing. Javon Hargrave was a bust signing.
Meaning that his replacement will be better than he's been.
Correct.
And that's gonna matter a lot.
I think that the 49ers have to stop the run. They have to stuff the run. And every time Hargrave is not playing, they look better against the run. And they looked better against the run against Seattle, against a really good running back, by the way. I think Kenneth Walker is about as stable of a running back as the NFL has to offer.
Agreed, but their offensive line is in shambles.
Correct.
So, and Kansas City's offensive line is a little bit better.
That's why I'm dotting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just know that there are indicators that Hargrave was not a good signing, was an overpaid, one-dimensional signing.
Yeah, that's possible that that's the case, but it's going to be incumbent on whoever's going to be in there replacing him that they are able to stop the run. And also, you've got to really stop the scheme, because what I saw in the New Orleans tape from earlier is Kansas City's going to pull out all kinds of all kinds of trick plays, and including their last touchdown where they went direct snap to Travis Kelce. Mahomes was 8 yards behind him, and they ran a read option with Xavier Worthy and Travis Kelce, and they gave it to Worthy, and he scored from about 8 yards out. So I'm just a little concerned about Nick Sorensen getting out-schemed and getting kind of owned by a Kansas City offense that can be very, very fun and dramatic and trick plays, and they've got speed the Niners can't match. There are certain parts about this that are scaring me.
I want to go back to the question and what we were talking about with him as well, and his thoughts that there's going to be a correction in the wide receiver market. Let me just ask this question, and I don't even know where you're going to go with this, but can you make this make sense to me? So go back to when the Niners drafted Ricky Pearsall. What was the thought? The second that you hear his name,
Oh, they're trading somebody.
Or at least they're releasing somebody when the upcoming year's over.
Debo, right? And Brandon hadn't been signed yet.
Brandon,
so the thought was, maybe they'll trade Brandon, or maybe they'll sign Brandon and they'll let Debo go.
Right, right.
And then they signed Brandon and restructured Debo.
Restructured Debo. And then Juwan has his best game ever.
He's popped.
As a pro. Put aside the difficulties that Ricky Pearsall has had, and that's a tragic slash relief of a situation that he's okay, but his start to his NFL career gets delayed. Now it's here. He's not going to play this week, but his practice window is open. People are excited that he's out there. The buzz from camp is that they're still really excited about Ricky Pearsall. Make this make sense. How does what they're doing at that position make sense? And what are they doing?
Right. Well, what they're doing right now is stockpiling weapons, and they've got three really good receivers that they can use and that they will use. And when Ricky Pearsall comes back, they either will have four good receivers, assuming that Ricky's good, or they might make a trade. You've got 19 days until the trade deadline, so you've got a chance to still make some moves and figure out, you know, what you want to do with your receiver room. Now, Ricky would have to pop quickly for you to feel comfortable parting with one of the other three.
Well, but look at the teams that are trading wide receivers. Those are out-of-it teams. The Niners aren't going to make a sell deal. They're not going to sell one of their good players for a draft pick.
You know, if you go into the offseason with all these guys, I don't know what you do. And, you know, I'd have to look at Debo's contract and see exactly what the out is. And I know that Brandon's getting a lot of money this year.
A lot of money.
So you could theoretically get off of his money. It would be somewhat of an eat, but there are some things you could do that are less comfortable than doing it before the draft.
Well, I mean, let's get into it next. What are the Niners doing at wide receiver? Is anybody like, got any thought about this? What are they doing? I got a bunch of questions. 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls. Plus, I do want to dive in with Grandy and you over this Brock Purdy, Patrick Mahomes conversation that you had yesterday. Doc Pandy on the injuries is a half hour away. Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
What do you think is going to happen in this game, Sting?
That's great. I think it's going to be a really tight game.
Now, back to
Will and Diddy
on 95.7 The Game.
Bro, that question felt like my fantasy game last night.
So close. Like,
I'm going to win. Wait, what are you doing?
That's great. I think it's going to be a really tight game.
Brother, yeah. Finish that sentence. What were you going to say? It's a great what?
Not a great question.
It's a great what?
It's a great notion.
And that's a great question.
Go ahead and add that to the montage of, and that... Because it wasn't a great question.
It's just...
And you actually also had...
That's a great... I think it's going to be a really tight game.
You actually had also... That's the $64,000 question, which in and of itself is great. I'd love to have $64,000.
I'm in on $64,000. That's great.
You were close to a couple of different buckets.
Theme of the week. You're going to get it. You're not going to get it.
You know what your new nickname is going to be, right?
What's that?
Clay Thompson.
You shared the thread. Was that his first game with the Mavs last night? No, he had already played, right?
If you want to be even more sad, if that's the right word.
No, I'm not sad.
Last three games have not been great.
Okay, but last night he hit nothing.
I think he also was 0 for a previous game.
You're kidding me.
No.
So now add in the Kings game. That's three out of his last four games. He's got a goose. Dude, did the Warriors pull... 3 minutes, and then we're going to go to the phones. Did the Warriors pull a fast one on this whole situation?
He's a free agent. They didn't pull a fast one. He chose to leave.
Understood. But
he pulled a fast one on himself.
Hold on. The offer that the Warriors gave him was before the year started.
Right.
So once the year started, this whole... Don't say they didn't pull a fast one. Because at the end of the year, what was the press conference? We need him. We need more shooting, not less. We need Klay Thompson back. Mike Dunleavy, what do you say? We need Klay Thompson back. And we have told him that. Was that all lip service? Did you all know, Warriors? Did you know? Are we secretly going, say to the public, we need Klay Thompson, and then in the back room, bro, he's washed. We're going elsewhere. Don't say anything because we need to pull off a sign and trade. We need to drum up interest in Klay Thompson. I'm just putting it out there.
It's possible.
0-for-9? Did y'all watch the video of one of his teammates making a steal at half court? Klay is standing by himself on the left wing for a three-pointer. So is another Maverick in the corner. What do the Mavericks do? Looked right past Klay. Passed it to his teammate. I'm not throwing it to you, Klay. Like, what? It's preseason. I'm not overdoing this. But what the hell is going on? What's going on? He can't hit a shot.
He was 3-for-9 in the previous game. 3-of-5 from three. He had 10 points.
Okay.
He was a minus 19 in a loss to Utah. That was the second preseason game. 0-for-9 last night. And in the opener against Memphis, a game that Dallas also lost, Klay Thompson was... DNP. So he's played two games.
Okay. Yeah, I saw a post on Twitter, and they put together the last game as a Warriors. So that's where I saw the other 0-for, which was the 0-for-10 against the Kings.
But he's 3-for-18 so far.
Yeah.
On the preseason.
What's your point? Preseason.
Okay.
I don't think that they pulled a fast one. I think that they wised up after they saw the year, and then when it came time for another offer... That's when they were like, we're going to go in a different direction.
Do you believe that they meant what they said?
About?
We need Klay Thompson back. And we have told them that. You do?
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, they had a chance to really show it. So show me, don't tell me. And
they didn't.
Right.
They told you, not showed you.
and they were masterful in getting something out of it. So you ended up with what, Buddy Hield and Slo-Mo, and you know, you're able to get a couple of players that you actually probably really wanted. And it's early. No one's writing Clay off, but
No.
It's if you're a Mavericks fan, and you know, all the talk a month ago was, man, these three, the big three, what a fit. Watch out, Western Conference. We got Clay. Just call your buddy Michael Thompson. See how he's doing.
Yeah.
Just check in with Michael. You won't.
I will, but okay. Not today. Not today.
Yeah.
I got a sneaking suspicion the Warriors are going to be pretty good this year. Just a gut call. It's early. I'm not reacting to preseason games. They got another one tonight. They're in Vegas.
Right. More wins than last year or fewer wins than last year?
I'll take the over 46.
Over 46?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, I mean, 46 could be about the number again.
Could be. And 46 is usually better than what it ended up being last year, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. But no, I'll take the over. I'll take the over.
I think the over-under is right in there. I'll check that out as we... As we pour over wide receiver contracts and what the heck the Niners are doing.
Well, yeah, let me just say this, and we do have some Warrior stuff that we'll get to a little bit later, but I, like, okay. I can individually sell the idea of any of these players, even though I was quoted and I stand by, I'm out on Brandon Ayuk. And what that means for those of you who weren't listening to the context, it does not mean I hate the man. It means I would have traded him. It got to a point where I would have traded him. They didn't, and that's fine. And he had a really good game 2 weeks ago. And I largely think even in Seattle, he was fine. Like, all I want to see is you make good on your opportunities. And Brandon has in the last couple of weeks. He hasn't gotten many opportunities. Hold that, because that's part of my point. Part of my point would be this. Like, you cannot... in this moment, make sense of these four things. You sign Brandon Ayuk to $30 million. You often don't throw him the ball. You restructure Debo. And you draft Ricky Pearsall in the first round. Those four things don't fit. They don't fit. I can't wait to see the way this whole thing plays out. But unless you're telling me that you drafted Ricky in the first round with the thought that you didn't even really want to start him for 2 years, if that's your thought, then I would argue, I don't know, maybe do something else with that first round pick. If you restructure Debo, but you plan to cut him anyway, okay, make that make sense. If you signed Brandon to 30 mil, knowing that he was going to get three targets a week, okay, I'm sorry. I don't get it. All I would love to know is what is your thought here? You're a great offense. More good players. Yay. Meanwhile, Juwan's over here looking his best as well.
Right.
That doesn't all add up. It seems to be a misallocation of resources, if you ask me. And yes, Dibs, that is a misallocation sensation. Go ahead and hit it before I even say it.
You're going to get there eventually.
I mean, my God. Well, yeah, that's the way I do things.
I don't think that it's, at this point, a misallocation. I don't believe so. And forget the fact that he was a gunshot victim for just a minute. Let's just imagine that they got Ricky in, and Ricky was injured before he got shot. He had two different injuries. So you're looking at Ricky, and you're thinking, he might be a slow-played project in year one anyway. And you re-signed Brandon Ayuk, and you did it in such a fashion that you can get out of that contract fairly comfortably after the year. And I was just looking at the numbers, and the contract, the eye-popping, is 4 years and $120 million. That's what everyone wants to talk about, the sticker shock. But when you really look at it, this year, the dead cap number is $45 million because he got a $23 million signing bonus. And that's prorated over the five-year life of the contract. And his base this year is only a million and an eighth. 1.125 is the base. But he got his big money, the $23 million signing bonus. But if you look at the out for this contract, if you wanted to get out after June 1st of 2025, you have a dead cap hit of $13.8 million next year, 4.6 next year, 13.8 the year after. Point is, if you decide at the end of this year that, you know, Brandon, we don't have enough targets for you, and Ricky's pretty good, and we like Juwan at his price, and Debo Debo's our rock, and you decide that you want to move on from Brandon and you want to trade him next summer, your dead cap hit's only $18
million. But what a weird thing to do seconds after signing him to one of the richest wide receiver contracts in the whole league.
Well, it's not it is. Well, you're giving him a year. You're giving all this a year.
The deal hasn't even started yet. Y'all get that, right? Like that.
Well,
that,
it has started because he got a signing bonus of $24
million. Fine, but you understand that whole like per year, the AAV doesn't even start until next season. You're going to deal him before that even starts?
Well, next year the AAV is actually the same. You have 1.17.
Right, because of the signing bonus.
And the year after that, it's 1.2.
You get what I'm saying. He's still on his rookie deal right now.
He is, but the way these deals are, and you know this, but for the audience, if you look at this deal, 4 years and $120 million, the last 2 years of it are 27.2 and 29.2. Those deals are never going to be paid. That's money he's never going to be paid.
Very possible.
Unless he is amazeballs.
Right. But like, in other words, what was the signing bonus?
Bonus was $23 million.
Okay, so you want to pay him his $14 million for this year, plus his $23 million for a signing bonus, and therefore, like, again, going with your premise that they might trade him after the season, that means you paid him $37 million to catch three balls a game this year.
He's getting four targets a game.
What is that?
Well, what it is you're in a Super Bowl window, and you're thinking, let's just play it the other way. Okay, Debo Samuel, if Debo is hurt and he's unable to play a lot of games, well, now you've got Juwan and Ayuk, and hopefully Pearsall, no one knew he was going to get shot, but you still would have three really good receivers, a first-round pick, and the rest of it. Or, if Juwan Jennings doesn't flash like he's flashed, and Pearsall does, we still have three really good receivers. I do think that the draft pick was a bit of insurance for the future.
Oof.
And also,
that's a big word in the first round.
Well, it's only if it doesn't pan out.
Well,
if he's not good,
I'm understanding your concept. My point is that for everyone who's like, well, you draft Ricky because you don't know how it's going to play out. Wow. With your first round pick?
Well, you didn't draft him just for that. You drafted him because you liked the player.
Okay, but if he's not going to play, I don't care if I like him.
Well, you didn't know that he wasn't going to play.
Well,
I would argue he would have played by now had he not gotten shot.
I would argue he wouldn't have played much because even if he was healthy throughout camp, you paid Brandon $30 million and Debo's Debo. He's not playing over either of those guys.
He's playing over Ronnie Bell and Chris Conley.
Oh, my gosh. So you're going to draft someone in the first round to come in for nine snaps a game?
You only need him if you need him. And you're a really good team. So
yeah.
I don't think you're drafting him thinking we need him to pop right now because you had Debo, and at the time you drafted him, you weren't sure about Brandon. So let's just say the Brandon thing would have fallen apart.
Okay.
Brandon decides, you know what? I do want to be a Patriots. I do want to be a Steelers, and I'm out of here. Okay, now you've got a first-round pick, and you can get him in the Juwan role. Juwan moves up to the Ayuk role, and you're still probably okay. You didn't know in April how this was going to play out, is my point.
Understood. I'm just talking about the fact that there's two things that happen. It's not just that Brandon signed. It's that you restructured Debo. So those three things in order, to me, don't really make sense. It's not like the Niners didn't have some control over this. You knew that Debo's already signed. If you wanted to extend him further or restructure, you can. If you want to keep Brandon, you can. You've known all along that if you just want to show up with the money, which they eventually did, you would keep Brandon Ayuk. So this whole idea of, like, let's draft Ricky as an insurance policy, for me, I would still have, like I did prior, no questions. If you told me, like, I get it, this feels like a little too much, but we're probably going to cut someone after the year. That was the premise. Articles have been written. This is it. Wide receiver survivor.
Yeah, you called it.
One of you is gone at the end of the year. And then you made a bunch of moves that suggest, nope, we're keeping all of you. And if we're keeping all of you, I scratch my head.
See, I don't think that the moves they've made and the contracts that they've signed are as in stone as that. I do think the Debo restructure, to me, told Debo, we want you to be a guy who's going to be here for at least three more years, so we're going to restructure so it works for both of us. Juwan's number's really small, so if Juwan isn't working out, you could get off him at the end of the year. Well, turns out he is doing amazing, so you don't want to get off of him. Ayuk is the interesting one because of so much of the money was paid in a signing bonus. If Brandon doesn't work out, and so far he's been fine. I mean, he's not worth $30 million a year.
Not even close.
But if you get to the end of this year and you realize, man, Ricky Pearsall, we got something, and Juwan's making peanuts, and Debo's our guy, well, Brandon, now we're going to trade you. And you know what, Brandon? You don't have a choice of where we trade
correct.
You.
Correct.
Jordan Poole, you're going to go be a Washington Wizards.
Right, but how many people who are acquiring players want to that kind of contract already in place? Not many. Just take a look at what just happened with Devontae Adams and Amari Cooper. Teams don't want to acquire you, or you are less attractive and will get less in return if you're making that kind of money. So my only point here, don't forget the fourth thing. It's not just we paid Brandon, we restructured Debo, and we drafted Ricky. It's also we paid Brandon and then decided to sort of just sparingly use him. It's just weird. I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
You're right. It's got ways that it can still play out. I would just argue that you put those four things together, I think it's fair to at least like wonder what exactly are you guys doing here?
Yeah.
What are you doing with this position? And Juwan, I don't want to quote get off that contract because you're right, it is cheap. And quite frankly, his output is wonderful.
Yep.
So you want that. I don't want to get rid of Juwan. Keep Juwan. He's cheap and good.
You're not using Brandon sparingly, in my opinion. He leads the team in targets. Now, his production has not been great because he and Brock are not connecting, and he's got between 2 and 4 drops, depending on if you go by the actual stat or the eye test. He's got more targets than Jennings, 36, more than Kittle, 35, more than Debo, 32. So I don't think that they're using him sparingly.
Wow.
What the problem is right now, other than the one game, really one half, right? The one half against
yes.
Arizona, he has not gone off, and the team, Purdy, Shanahan, and Ayuk, they're not connecting where we would think that they would when the guy's making $30
million. Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think that his contract is structured in a way that if they really didn't like it at the end of this year, they could eat that $39 million, or you could eat $18 million over 2 years, and you could move on. I don't think that they will.
Yeah, again, that's a head scratcher to me. If you you break off that kind of deal and then immediately jump ship the following year. Doc in 10 minutes on Ricky Pearsall's recovery and much more. Let's go to the phones though. Vince in the city. Hi Vince, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's up guys? So I think kind of along the lines of what you guys are talking about as far as like having trade capital, I think, like you said, Ricky Pearsall was an insurance signing or draft, not knowing if you were actually going to be able to re-sign Brandon or not. You did, and you're hoping, this is my thoughts on it, is you're hoping that Ricky Pearsall becomes a dog. And now you've got somebody, you got a May guy who would be easier to trade in Brandon Ayuk. I say him because if, you know, watching Kyle Shanahan and his offense, he looks for versatility out of positions. There's a reason why as soon as CMC gets a green light, he's going to be the immediate starter over Jordan Mason because he's also a threat as a receiver. Jordan Mason, not so much, at least not proven yet. He wants versatility. That way he has all these different kind of crazy, you know, plays that he can run with different guys on the field. Brandon Ayuk is a pure wide receiver. I don't see him getting no tosses or sweeps or anything. He's not coming out of the backfield like Debo. He can't do that. That's not what he does. He's a pure wide receiver. So that leads me to bring up the point. There's three guys on a defensive end who I see wanting out. I know Max Crosby has said before when Devontae first demanded his trade, if he's gone or he leaves, he wants to leave too. So you got Max Crosby available. Hassan Reddick wants out. And I also can see them trying to make a move for Myles Garrett. Three guys on a defensive line who, if you were able to get a trade with Brandon Ayuk for one of those guys, that would make them an instant like boost on their defense because our D-line is hurt. We don't have anybody. It's just Nick Bosa and then whatever guys are out there. I don't even know their names, really.
Yeah, Vince, so I would never – thanks, Vince, so much. I mean, I would never say never, but that I got a hard time believing – first of all, I did not hear that Max Crosby said, if Devontae goes, I want to go. I have heard Max Crosby say, I want to remain a Raider. I have heard that. And I don't think the Raiders are going to be interested in giving him up. As far as Cleveland giving up Myles Garrett, also have heard nothing about that. But if teams like that do want to give up players, they don't want some hefty contract in return. That's the entire point. They want to dump money and get a pick. That's what you're going to watch all these teams do. That's what the Browns are going to do. That's what the Raiders are going to do. So do you really want the 49ers to give up draft capital for yet another super wealthy contract? I have a hard time believing. Like, those sound fun. In theory, what you're saying, Vince, I get and I agree with. I just don't know how feasible deals like that actually are.
Depending on the money and the player, and I know that the Crosby deal is not as big as we thought when we looked at it earlier. I'm just looking at a quote after they lost to the Broncos, which was, I guess, 9 days ago, and he said, "You think I'm not used to this ass going on? It is what it is. I've been dealing with it my whole career. It is what it is." Yep. And that was in response to the rumors and the nastiness around Davante Adams wanting out. And now here we are 9 days later, and he is out. Doesn't mean that Crosby's going to be next to come up with a hamstring injury. And Davante Adams went through a physical today. Fingers crossed that he's able to pull through. But I do think that that Raiders situation is one to watch because it feels broken from the top down. Shout out P.F. Chang's.
It would be wonderful. I want to be clear. Great idea for the Niners to go get Max Crosby. But
for a conditional third?
They ain't giving up. Like, the Raiders are not going to be like, give us Ayuk. Why would they do that? Ayuk makes, he makes 50% more than what Max makes.
Yeah, the next 2 years, Ayuk, the total cash is around $25 million. And then it goes way down.
Right.
Those numbers aren't guaranteed after the next two, and that's where he's going to probably get the Davante Adams treatment, which is, yeah, I know that you're under contract to make huge money, but we're not paying it.
Well, and there was another thing that I was thinking about today, and we'll throw this into the conversation coming up next after Doc Feely comes on. But I was thinking about today, which happened first? Don't answer if you remember. Which happened first? Brandon signing or the Ricky shooting? Which happened first? Because there are some out there who are like, well,
I think I remember.
They panicked and they signed Brandon because something awful happened to their first round draft pick. And so I want to dive into that a little bit coming up next. Doc Feely will join us. We'll continue to take your calls. Oh, and by the way, do not leave this show if you're a big fan of Moses Moody. Do not leave this show if you're a big fan of Moses Moody. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. It's Willard and Dibbs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app